we can then start. She'll be joining us soon. She's around. We can then start with the agenda of today. I will give it over to Mr. Sakasa to start read it through.
Thank you, Chair, and morning, members. Morning to everybody. The agenda for today, Wednesday, 30th November, is as follows. Opening and welcome, apologies, adoption of the agenda, and deliberations on amendments with regards to the Labour Laws Amendment Bill. And then it will be consideration of last week's draft minutes, and then closure. Chair, I only received two apologies, one from Honorable Mkongi, who is in hospital, that's what the letter says, and one from Mr. Madisha, who's in another meeting. Thank you, Chair.
You are welcome, Honorable Loliwe. We knew that you were just in the corner. There's the agenda, members. Do we want to amend the agenda or take it as it is? Honorable Fanskal, take your hand is up.
Thank you, Chair. I move for adoption of the agenda.
Honorable Fanskal Vic is moving for the adoption. Honorable America is seconding, and Honorable Tongwen is the third one. So the agenda is adopted as it stands. I wish to thank everybody who is in the committee for coming. We have noted the apologies and of our member who is in hospital. We will do as we always do. Posh around. Okay, Solana, when someone is in hospital, and then the house is full, it's getting full every day. Can we then, those are interpreters, we have seen, both of you, are you still in care? Oh, okay, members, you know them. Yeah, I know the gentleman, I wasn't sure, yeah. Oh, we all know each other. You're a researcher,
yes.
From DA, PMG. Okay, no, we all know each other. What we will be doing today, you have been sent the changes that we have made and agreed upon last week. Now, that's what we will be looking at, just going through and check if the amendments are the ones or there are things that are left or things or spelling or anything that needs to be tied up on the amendments. So we have, our legal advisor to just take through us again. But I would think that members had an opportunity to go through, because the red ones, the red writing is the ones that have been changed. So maybe we can then go change or clause by clause, not clause by clause. We go through these sections and read it for members, and so that if we are comfortable, we say this is what we have said, then we pass. That's the process. Am I right? It's only about the amendments. And then clause to clause will be after we have agreed on the amendments. That is exactly what we have said last time. Can you take us through? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. And morning, Honourable Members. At the last meeting, I was instructed to effect the changes that was agreed to. Just before we get to the changes, I just need to bring to the committee's attention about the bill, which is before it's going to, the bill number is going to change. If we see here at the bottom of that document, previously it was PMB 5 of 2015, which was for private members' bill 5 of 2015. But since this is now a formal bill, which is going to go through, the bill number needs to change. It needs to get an ordinary B number like all the other bills. And I've discussed with the bill's office, the new number it will get is PMB 24 of 2016. It will no longer be 24 of 2016, yeah. It will no longer be PMB 5 of 2015, which is why that change is effected there. That is also the reason why we're having a redraft of the bill and why we don't have an A list, as because the version that was before the committee was not a CREDA version, it was an ATC version. So it's exactly the same content, it's just that it was published in the ATC and then it was referred to the committee for consideration. But once it goes to the second house, it needs to be in a CREDA format. CREDA format being there is line numbers at the side of the document. Now, because this bill doesn't have line numbers at the moment, we are introducing a redraft, which is why I've done it like this, where I indicate in track changes where the changes are. But when the bill goes further, it will read as follows. It will say there on the front page, the Labour Laws Amendment Bill, as introduced in the National Assembly, proposed Section 75, as PMB 5 of 2015, on 26 November 2015, and it was ATC'd on 26 November 2015 on page 6010, and it's now redrafted by the Portfolio Committee of Labour. So this will be the redraft that will go forward. Okay, that's on the bill. The first amendment, at the previous meeting there was the discussion around granting adoption leave upon the placement of a child with a prospective adoptive parent. That was a matter that was referred to for us to consider. What happened subsequently is that I have had discussions with the department, and the committee has also written to the department about the adoption issue. And I just think it's the way I've drafted it was the bill before is that the bill would make provision for the version for the committee would make provision for a child be adoption leave being or benefits being accessed at the time the child was placed. So all these new amendments will relate to that. So I just think if we can settle the discussion about whether in actual fact there is going to be an opportunity for a prospective adoptive parent to access the benefits when the child is placed with him. If that is settled, then what follows in the amendments, I can then say whether it is still applicable. Mm. But I've drafted it to cater for that provision. So,
I think that let's deal with the ones that will not need discussion and then put that one aside, so that we can deliberate on it. Let's start with the ones that... Yes. Mm. Correct.
Okay, Chair, then we will need to then, because this amendment is linked to that discussion, previously what was written here was later on in a later clause, so I brought it to the definition clause because the ruling drafting is if you're going to use a word in more than once and in more than one section, then you insert that definition and in section one. Now, the draft that was before the committee, it was only used in that section, so the definition was at the bottom, so which is why it will appear here in red, but it's exactly the same definition that is just later in the bill. So that's why it was moved now to section one. And that amendment, it read that adoptive parent has a meaning assigned to it in Section 1 of the Children's Act. An adoption order means an adoption order as envisaged in the Children's Act. So that definition just shifted up. This definition, it will have to then stand over for later discussion because I gave a definition for prospective adoptive parent to cater for the possibility that when a child is placed prior to the adoption. So that we will come back to that amendment.
Just a second. We are not talking about the leave here yet, huh? Are we? Or all that will be linked to the leave?
Please share what... In the leave, I'm making provision for this. So what's happening here is that instead of writing what that prospective adoption parent means, I just added a definition. So it does relate to the leave, but it just gives the content so that though it's not so long in the actual section. I just added it up to the definition clause. The leave discussion we will still get to, Chair.
Okay. So in this way, it's still okay.
No, Chair, we will have to come back. If it is that we are going to, then this amendment will stay. If not, then this amendment will have to come out. Thank you, Chair. The second amendment was in Section 25 of the basic...
Members, are we all together? You know... Yes, ne? Okay. Okay, then continue.
Chair, will we take questions after each amendment, or must I take the guide from Chair as to when to stop?
No, after each, I think let's approve change by change. It will be easier than reading everything and come back and change. So all your ones that have changed, bound it with us, read it for us, and then you comment, and then you pass.
Okay, Chair, so I will concentrate now on clause 2 here. And then I will pause because that's the amendment to one section. Okay. The amendment to Section 25 of the Basic Conditions Act. Now, that's an amendment. That section deals with maternity benefits. And one of the committee instructed me last week to insert a provision that says an employer may not set off maternity leave against any other leave entitlement under this chapter. The initial instruction was in relation to adoption and parental benefits, but there was a proposal from the committee to streamline all the three leaves, which is why this amendment is to maternity leave. In other words, what happens now is that when a person is granted maternity leave, this leave cannot be set out off against any other leave entitlement which an employee is entitled to by the employer. That's that amendment, Chair.
Members, is that what we have agreed upon? Honorable Loliwe?
Yes.
Honorable Fonskalvey?
Yes, Chair.
Okay. Honorable Bahrain, that side is your hand that is up?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, I don't know why your hand was up.
Yeah, no, I wanted to say something. I thought there was someone speaking before me, but... Yeah, I'm not sure what you mean by set off. In other words, you can rather take it as sick leave or something else. What can you explain what you mean as set off? There is no legal definition for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. My understanding of set off is that you cannot deduct it from any other leave entitlement. So in other words, if I'm entitled to... annual leave of 18 days, they cannot deduct any leave that I've taken for maternity leave from that leave, and then I'm not entitled for the rest of the year to my annual leave.
So other members, is it clear?
No.
Okay. Another
background?
Thank you. Sorry, I'm still a little bit confused because, I mean, obviously annual leave is entitlement. Sick leave is an entitlement. Paternity leave and maternity leave are entitlements. Are you trying to say that people might want greater amount of paternity leave and therefore take their sick leave? What are you actually trying to say? Because they would be entitlements. So I'm not sure where people would be setting off.
Can I make an request that what do you think this
should sound for everybody to understand. Because I think here you have a problem with set off, and then this set off, what is that you have, you think you can sponsor to say instead of set off, instead of us going around.
I would just say we don't have that in. Finished. I mean, either it's an entitlement or it's not an entitlement. No one is entitled in sick leave, for instance. No one's entitled to set that off against something else. Annual holiday leave must be taken as holiday leave. You can't say, I'm not going to take it, I want money instead. There's no such thing as set off in the Basic Conditions of Employment Act. So again, I'm not sure why we're putting the thought of set off into it, unless there's something that I'm missing, and I might be missing. That's why I was trying to explore that. Thank you.
So it's only set off that you think must be removed. Okay, keep that. Honorable Olive?
Chair, the point is that the only type of leave that I think that could be confused with adoption leave or whatever would be family responsibility leave. All the others are set in law. You can't swap them with each other. They're set for a specific purpose. Family responsibility leave was where people used to take their adoption leave or their paternity leave. So we just need to clarify how adoption leave will impact family responsibility leave if you want to leave this clause in. If there's no confusion, then I would suggest you just take that section out. Because unless there's a confusion with family responsibility leave, then this is not required. You can just cancel this Amendment C. Amendment A. You don't need it because the others are all, your sick leave is your sick leave. You can't swap it with paternity leave. It's ridiculous. The only one where there might have been some question mark would have been over family responsibility leave. But I'm not even sure that there is a conflict there. And if there's not, then we can just delete that red one because it's not necessary. It's
okay.
Thank
you. We'll keep that in mind, Honorable Lollywood.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I wanted to take this back to the legal advisor because every change that she's effecting here is based on what we discussed as a committee last week.
I don't get you, Honorable Lurie. You are telling her, or there is also something that you are questioning as well? Or?
No, Chair, I'm not questioning what is captured here. But I'm trying to say it's not a matter of she just thought of putting in this clause. It's based on our debate for last week. Because I remember us as a committee having a debate on this issue of people who will then say, if, for instance, a person is going for maternity, then a person, I made an example, for instance, where in one of the farms in Mpumalanga, you find that a person is said, if you want to take a particular leave, then you have to work weekends free. So I think that was based on that. So if that is not the case, I think the legal advisor need to clarify.
Over to you, Desiree.
Thank you, Chair. The history of this amendment, it came from the public submission. And if the committee will recall, I did advise that it's not necessary, that there is not, the basic condition doesn't allow for set-off. But at that stage, the committee felt that it is necessary to claim in order to avoid any possibility that may happen in the future. at the moment, it can't be confused with family responsibility leave for when your child is born, because that section, this bill is repealing section 27. If we look at section 27.4, that is the page 7. That is the provision that related to your taking family responsibility leave for when your child is born. So this bill is actually repealing section 27.2A. So there shouldn't be a confusion of, between the two leaves, because that leaf will no longer be entitled to that type of leave. It will either be this leave, or the parental leave, or maternity leave, or adoption leave, or commissioning parental leave. But the instruction where the history is concerned, this committee last week felt that it wouldn't hurt having it here to prevent any possible exploitation by employers telling employees that they are going to set off other leave entitlements or deducting other leave entitlements from that leave entitlement from any other leave entitlements that they have. Thank you, Chair.
I mean, it's not for us to start putting things in the legislation that don't really make any more value to the legislation. I think when the legal advisors in Parliament start debating this, they're going to say, why is that there? And our legal advisor today has told us that they can't set off anyway. You're not allowed to. That's my understanding. You can't do it. And if an employer does that, then they need to be reported to the Department of Labor, and we need to prosecute. And in fact, the Department of Labor has been prosecuting specifically for that. They're very vigilant of people trying to set off these statutory leave. So I think we're just adding it for the sake of, in case a recalcitrant employer tries his luck, which is a bit silly. I understand where the legal advisor is coming from, because we did debate that. It's not that she didn't pick it out of thin air, we debated it. It's just that when I went home, I went to go and check up to see if anything can be set off, and it can't be. So it makes it tautologous.
Honourable America.
Thank you. Morning, Madam Chair. I would agree with my colleagues, because the different categories of leave, they were really codified, and therefore making set off virtually sort of impossible. And if it does happen, certainly there's other recourse to the employee. I'd support deleting it.
Members?
I think, Chair, it's really not going to make any difference. We understand from where we came from and the discussions that we had and why we feel that indeed if more of our comrades feel that it needs to be removed, then we don't have. It's not a brain smash. It can be removed.
Whether it remains or if that's how we feel, I think majority of the members are feeling that whether it's here or not, there will be no confusion. I think let's then or remove it. Okay. The members are saying remove it.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. The next amendment is the amendment to Section 25A, which an amendment that was... Okay, this amendment will have to then stand over once the issue of placement has been sorted. Then I will also take up the amendment in 5, which is also the set of provision, because I had to link it to each... under each of the different leave provisions. So I will take up the amendment to section of subsection 5 there, this one here. Adoption leave. There was also an amendment that will have to stand over once the issue of placement has been discussed. And then as well as the amendment to subsection 8, which also talks about the set of provision. Then the next amendment is on page 6, which is commissioning parental leave. That amendment there under 7 in the rest, that will also come out. Yes, Chair, on page 6. Then the next amendment, that amendment will also stand over. It relates to the issue of adoption and prospective adoptive parent. So we'll come back to that one. And then here, the amendment to clause 8, previously clause 7, that amendment relates to the payment, which I was instructed to do. It relates to increasing the payment benefits from what's applicable to others, which was 60. So now that amendment will have, there will be an addition to subsection 6 of section 12. It will read that for the purpose of Part DA, which is your parental benefits must be paid at a rate of 66% of the earnings of the beneficiary at the date of application, subject to the maximum income threshold set in paragraph A. For the purpose of Part E, adoption benefits must be paid at a rate of 66% of the earnings of the beneficiary at the date of application, subject to the maximum income threshold set out in paragraph A. For the purpose of Part EA, commissioning parental benefits must be paid at a rate of 66% of the earnings of the beneficiary at the date of application, subject to the maximum income threshold set in paragraph A. This wording is exactly the same as the wording provided for in the UI bill, which increased that limit to 66%. So I've just added that to follow the maternity benefits. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. I think this one is in line with what we debated, because we were bridging the gap between the two amendments, the two pieces of legislation. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Lulu. Honourable Rafferty?
Yeah, I agree with Honourable Loliwe. This is absolutely in line with what we were talking about. And thank you for that. I wanted to highlight subject to the maximum income threshold each time, which is absolutely vital that we keep that there each time, because many people feel they're going to get 66% of their salary, which is not the truth. The truth is they'll get 66% of the maximum threshold. Obviously, if the maximum threshold is higher than their salary, then they'll rather get their salary, but if it's lower, then they'll get the maximum threshold. So thank you. I'm very happy with the wording of this. Thank you.
Okay. Agreed.
Chair, I just want to give clarity. The 66% will be 66% of your salary. But if your salary is so high that 66% will exceed the maximum income threshold, then it will only be the maximum threshold. The next amendment is, it's an amendment to section 16. The reason why, I'll explain later the reason why this is in yellow, it's because this amendment is not currently before in the bill. So this is a new insertion from the principal, from a new amendment to the Principal Act. But I'll explain later the implications as to why I have indicated it in yellow. This amendment caters for I'm going to start with subsection 5A, because subsection 5A relates to what is happening in paragraph A. It says that the days of benefits that a contributor is entitled to in terms of subsection 3 may not be reduced by the parental benefits in terms of subsection DA, adoption benefits in terms of Part E, and commissioning parental benefits in terms of Part EA. The payment of parental benefits, adoption benefits, or commissioning parental benefits may not affect the payment of unemployment benefits. What the purpose of this amendment is that the same like maternity leave, if you get maternity leave today, you will get 66% of your income. If you then become unemployed 5 months later, they can't deduct the money that you've received for maternity leave from your unemployment benefits. That's the moment in the position under the UI bill. Now, this amendment is to streamline as well. If you get your 10 days parental benefits, then if you become unemployed 5 or 6 months later, they can't deduct the money that you've received for that from your unemployment benefits. So this is also the aligning of this with what's happening in the UI bill. Just to read what is in paragraph A, the reason why I had, in subsection 3A, the reason why I had to insert that amendment there was previously it said subject to subsection 5. Now, subsection 5 was only relating to maternity. So I had to link it to a subsection 5A, which we're inserting now. And then it would say a contributor's entitlement to benefits in terms of this chapter accrues at a rate of 1 day's benefit for every completed 5 days of employment as a contributor, subject to the maximum accrual of 365 days benefit in the 4-year period immediately preceding the day after the date of ending of the period of employment in terms of this chapter. So the reason why that is there is just to make sure that the cross-referencing is corrected, that it is catered for in the previous paragraph. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, members.
Yeah, agreed. This is absolutely correct. It's in line with the maternity leave. Thank you.
Any member? Honourable Lolliwe?
Agreed, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Look at advice.
Thank you, Chair. The next amendment is to parental benefits. That will have to stand over for the issue of clarity on the adoption. Then, at the bottom of page 10, the amendment or an addition of subsection 5 to that section I've provided for the following: a contributor is not entitled to benefits unless he or she was in employment, whether as a contributor or not, for at least 13 weeks before the date of application for parental benefits. That's the position currently with maternity benefits. If you haven't been employed for 13 weeks before you apply, you're not entitled to benefits. I've made that also applicable to parental benefits. Thank you, Chair.
Members? Honourable Lolliwe is saying we agree. Honourable Bahrain, second it. Honourable Zawama. Thank you. Legal advice.
Thank you, Chair. The next one, it's an amendment to the application for parental benefits. Previously, you had to make your application within 6 months after the date of childbirth for parental benefits. But the commissioner may accept an application in the previous bill, the commissioner had the discretion whether to, if you have good cause shown, whether to grant it to you. But in the subsequent UI bill, they've taken that discretion out of the commission for the commissioner for maternity and just said you have to apply within 12 months. So I've aligned that with this, and I've taken out the discretion of the commissioner. Then that last part B of that will have to stand over, Chair.
Thank you. Yeah, this is an agreement. You recall that in this committee we debated this, I think 2 years ago. We debated this issue about making it 12 months and taking the discretion away. It would be very unfair if it was not in line with that. Thank you.
However, we are coming back on this one. Yes, part B, okay.
Part B, Chief.
Oh, only part B, okay.
Yeah.
We all agree.
Yeah.
Okay.
The amendment to Section 27, that's an amendment to the adoption provision in the Unemployment Insurance Act. That will have to stand over until clarity is given. So A and B will have to stand over. Just there was a typographical error on my side. I just want to correct that the section number there. So on C is just the numbering that's changing from 3 to 4, as well as in D from 5 to 4, from 4 to 5. And then the last one, there is also to streamline it or to align it, a contributor is not entitled to benefits unless he or she is in employment, whether as a contributor or not, for at least 13 weeks before the date. So will not be entitled to adoption benefits. And I think this one is important because that requirement is to streamline it, to align it. So we'll still have to work 13 weeks before an application can be made for adoption benefits. Thanks, Chair.
Members. Honourable Bakri.
That's correct. It's just making it in line with everything else.
Okay.
It's absolutely correct.
Honourable Tongwen. Agreed. Thank you. Legal advice.
Thank you, Chair. The amendment to Section 28 of the Act will have to stand over. That's got to do with the adoption. And then there's an amendment to commissioning parental benefits. Just the same, you'll have to work 13 weeks before you can apply for commissioning parental benefits. So the addition of Subsection 5 is to cater for that, for commissioning parental benefits. Okay. The same with an application for commissioning parental benefits. If you apply, you have to do within 12 months after the date of childbirth. The discretion is taken away. That's the amendment to Section 29 PG. Agreed?
It's agreed.
Then that's the amendments that was agreed to last week, Chair. The other issues is just the issue of adoption that will have to be decided. We have to go back.
We listened to the legal advisor on what we agreed that the what we were looking for was not a legal a matter. However, she also made her own initiatives by conducting the department and check. And our side, I think we've done the same, because the most important thing that we had to check, whether that stage is that we're talking about, the placement stage will have an effect in terms of resources, financial resources. So I think the response is the same. The response that the chair got from the department after checking is almost the same with what she got, because also she is in liaison with them. The issue of financial implications, we can't check it anyway. We have to check it from the department because they are implementers. I will allow you to say something, or Zolani, you can go through the letter of the DG in relation to the issue.
Madam Chair, if I just may say that thank you to the legal advisor for all the hard work she's done in this. It's great in that she's explained it fully, and it's easy for us to understand, so thank you to her.
Yeah, we'll do it. It's fine, we can do it now. We'll also do it when we're done.
It's something
we've done
again.
Yes, please.
Thank you.
Press the button.
It's not the House here. It's one not just it is National Assembly, Honorable Sowam.
Thank you, Chair. This is the response as Chair has put it that he got from the department. The background to this, as Chair has put it, is that the committee indicated that the committee is currently considering an amendment to the Labour Laws Amendment Bill to enable an employee to take adoption leave from the date the child is placed in the care of the prospective adoptive parent in terms of a court order, or on the date of the adoption order, whichever comes first. The committee also indicated that the proposal is different from the current provision of the Section 27 of the UI Act. Therefore, the committee requests the department to provide clear answers with regards to the proposal and also indicate whether the proposal has any financial implications. So this is their response to the proposal. The department considered the proposed amendment and the current provisions of the Section 27 of the UI Act. After consideration of the proposal, the department concluded that the proposal as it stands does not present any legal and or administrative challenges. However, the committee should take legal cognizance that adoption leave benefits can only be processed by the Unemployment Insurance Fund on submission of an official court order. Should the committee decide to proceed with the proposed amendment, there should be an emphasis on a placement court order and or adoption court order. In the provisions of the amendment, therefore, if this requirement can be addressed to the department, or the department does not object to the proposed amendment. Financial implications. After careful consideration of the proposed amendment, the department concluded that the proposed amendments will have financial implications because current adoption benefits are only paid to adoptive parents who are in provision of an official adoption court order at the time of initiating the claim process. The proposed amendment suggests that whether at the end of the adoption process the prospective parent is granted an adoptive court order or not can claim adoption benefits through a placement order. In this case, there will be an increase in adoption benefit claims. However, in our view, the financial implication will be minimal and will not result in an increase in the current employee-employer contribution. So the conclusion of the department is that the department supports the proposed amendment in the Labour Laws Amendment Bill. We also confirm that there will be an increase in adoption benefit claims, which will result into financial implication. We further confirm that the financial implications will be minimal and will not increase the current employee-employer contributions. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Wallace.
Chairperson, obviously I wasn't here last week, but I completely support the proposal that we allow parents to get their leave from the date that the court issues the placement order, because the alternative means that they get the child and they can't take leave until the social department issues an adoption order, which can be a year later, 2 years later. By then you don't need the leave, it's too late. So I mean, I support this principle that we are looking at here in the bill, and I'm glad that various people have interacted with the department, that we've got a written undertaking from them, because we do need to consult and we do need to think of the financial implications. But I mean, I had thought we were going to get that kind of a response from the department, so it's in line with what I believe was going to happen. So I'm very glad that we've got that letter, and I would support the department in the comments that they've made. I think that's a fair assessment, and I think it puts us in a position where we are able to proceed in this matter because they've clarified problems that could have occurred, and they've clarified for us that situation, and I would really encourage us to support that proposal and to accept the letter from the department. Thank you.
Honorable Lollywood. Thank you, Honorable Ollis. Honorable Lollywood.
Thanks, Chair. I concur with Honorable Ollis because our debate has always been focusing on whether we are not going to pass something which is not going to be affordable. Now that the department is saying even with affordability is within the threshold as they have shown the graphs and all that, I think we need to accept that, so we support the amendment.
Thank you, Honorable Lulu. Honorable Towama.
Honorable Chair, I also agree with the two honorable members who spoke before me.
Okay. I think it's agreed. Unless it's a different, there's a different, three members who have spoken, unless there's a different one, otherwise I think we should pass. Do you have something that you want to insert, Honorable Buffering?
Yeah, the one point they do make, which I think we had spoken about, I'm not sure if it's in the actual amendments, I must check it, but they must say it must be a court order, and that's their caution. And I think we had spoken about it, that a placement is a court order in terms of the legislation, and I think we must put that in each time. They've asked us to emphasize it, and I think they're right. But other than that, yes, I agree with the honorable members. Thank you.
Thank you. It's agreed. Meaning that now we must go back to the...
Thank you, Chair. I've looked at the amendment, and I just want to make general comments before I go to the technicality of the amendment. When I looked at it, I somehow wanted to place this, when you apply for something that you're applying on based on a legal document, which is the same concern that the department has expressed. Then I looked at the Children's Act. In Children's Act, what happens is that you can get a placement order that would be put in temporary safe care pending the finalization of an adoption order. But the Children's Act doesn't say that temporary safe care is with a prospective adoptive parent. So I somehow had to put more in here to make sure that I can't just automatically link it to that section in the Children's Act. I had to make sure that if it's given, it must be given to a prospective adoptive parent. Mm-hmm. Now, the Children's Act does set up what the requirements are, and I have linked that requirements to here. So I'll take the committee through it as to exactly what those requirements are. Basically, there's an assessment which is done by the social worker, and there has to be a report based on that assessment before you can be a prospective adoptive parent. So I've linked it to an adoption, a placement order pending the finalization of, or the placement with a prospective adoptive parent, pending the finalization of a adoption order. And then prospective parent is defined as exactly. So it can't be just the placement with anybody, say for instance foster care, because that's how broad it was in the Children's Act. So I tried to narrow it down here.
If I may.
Hello, Buffy.
Thank you. That's exactly it, because you can have a placement order for a home, for a place of care, as opposed to prospective adoptive parents. So what the legal advisor is saying is absolutely in line with what we discussed at our last meeting. So thank you for that. I didn't think that through myself. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. The first amendment will be then adoptive parent. That amendment was there. The reason why that is there is because you can now access it, access adoption benefits on the date of the adoption order or on the date of the placement, whichever date comes first. So this amendment is still relevant, which is why it's still there. I'm on page 2 on the screen. Page 2, the amendment to Section 1 of the Basic Conditions of Employment Act. I've now brought that amendment up to Section 1 because we're going to be talking about adoptive parent in more than one section. So I had to bring it up. And it's the same amendment as it was before, so I just brought it up. The same with adoption order. It means an adoption order is envisaged in the Children's Act. So that one, sorry, we already did with that one. dealt with that one. Then I've inserted a definition for prospective adoptive parent. At the moment, I mean, the definition I've given is that a prospective adoptive parent means a parent who complies with the requirements set out in Section 231(2) of the Children's Act, 2005, Act 38 of 2005. Now, if I can just read to the members what that section is saying. Section 231 of the Children's Act, it deals with persons who may adopt a child, and the requirements are set out in subsection 2. It says a prospective adoptive parent must be, firstly, a fit and proper person to be entrusted to fulfill four parental responsibilities and rights in respect of the child. Secondly, willing and able to undertake, exercise, and maintain those responsibilities and rights. C, over the age of 18. And then D, properly assessed by an adoption social worker for compliance with paragraph A and B. Now, when we talk about four parental responsibilities, those will be your financial responsibilities as well. So that assessment will look at all of those before a social worker will compile a report for compliance. And only once that is done, then you will qualify as a prospective adoptive parent. So I didn't want to insert this in ALBO because the requirements may change in the Children's Act, which is I've only referred to it to this the Children's Act. Thank you, Chair. If the committee is fine with that definition.
Okay.
Okay, then the second one is on page 4 at the top. It's the amendment to parental leave. You can access parental leave firstly on the day that the child is born. That will be your the father in a surrogacy agreement or the father of the natural father of the child, or on the date that the adoption order is granted, or the date that the child is placed in the care of a prospective adoptive parent by a competent court, pending the finalization of an adoption order in respect of that child, whichever date occurs first. So in other words, depending if you don't get the child before the adoption, you will only get it on the final adoption order. But if for some reason the child is placed with you before the adoption, then you can access the benefits at that time or take the leave at that time. Thank you. Honourable Ollis, your hand is noted. I can't see what for us.
Honourable Ollis.
Thanks, Chair. We support this. In terms of the wording, that letter from the department said that we should emphasize the wording of a placement order. Now, I'm not a lawyer. A placement order. So, I'm not a lawyer, but I've got about three of them sitting around here. So maybe they could just tell us whether the wording here means a placement order or whether we should put the word placement order into this paragraph. Because and then if we add it here, obviously we must cascade it to the, because you've copied this paragraph like five times. So that's my only query. I support fully what we're doing. The wording that they mentioned, I think twice in their letter, the wording placement order. So should we put the wording placement order here? I'm not sure.
Honorable Lolliwood.
Thanks, Chair, I think that can be covered by the insertion of what is the competent court, because it issues an order. So it really covers that.
It can be issued by anyone.
I agree.
So are we covered?
Chair, can answer why I didn't want to use that specific wording. If I'm going to put placement order, placement order has got a wide definition in the Children's Act. You can place somebody when a juvenile, if they don't know where to put the child, it's a placement order that's been given. If the child has to be put in safe care after being removed from the mother for whatever reason, negligence, they put the issue of placement order. So I didn't want to link it specifically to placement because it's very broad. The court uses general term for various instances when they give it.
I'm coming, thank you.
Okay, agreed.
Agreed.
Mm. The next one, similar. This one has now got to do with adoption leave. Again, you can access it on the date that the adoption order is granted or the child is placed in the care. So it's the same wording. Care of a prospective adoptive parent by a competent court pending the finalization of adoption order in respect of that child, whichever date occurs first. So that is the amendment there. In relation to adoption leave? It's at the page 5, yeah, at the top.
No, you want to say something, Lulu?
Okay,
okay.
Chair, where I'm seated, I'm agreeing with that in the session.
Okay. So,
okay, we all agree.
Thank you, Chair. The next one is subsection 4. The way it was written in the bill was you have to give notification to your employer, and you have to give notification at least 1 month before an adoption order is expected to be granted. Now, I had to... because there's now two type of orders, I had to amend it and take out adoption orders. So I just said the date referred to in subsection 2, which will be your date. It's on page 5.
Page 5, section 4.
Subsection 4.
A.
A. So I had to take out the previous wording and insert new wording just to make the cross-references, to cross-refer it to the previous one of the date, either being the date that the placement order is granted or the adoption order is given. We all agree. Thank you, Chair. In the next one, you will see that's where I took out the definition of adoptive parent, right? That's why subsection 7 is scratched through. I brought it up. But I had to add in a subsection 7, which is on the bottom of page 5, because there's now a separate category of not only adoptive parent, but the prospective adoptive parent. I had to add that option is, if there's two prospective adoptive parents, that they will have a choice which one takes adoption leave and which one takes parental leave. So that's the addition of subsection 7, because that option is given to an adoptive parent.
And cover this side. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Then this section is a new section because adoption is being used so often in the rest of the... We're on the bottom of page 7, amendment to subsection 1 of the Unemployment Insurance Act. It's clause 7. Because adoption order and prospective adoptive parent is going to be used in the rest of the Unemployment Insurance Act, I inserted a definition for adoption order, which is the same like the one in basic conditions. It means an adoption order as envisaged in the Children's Act. I've also inserted a definition for prospective adoptive parent, which again, it's a person who complies with requirements set out in section 231(2) of the Children's Act. So just to align the two so that when we speak about prospective adoptive parent or adoption order later, everybody knows what we are talking about.
We agree, Chair, it's just assurance because previously we agreed.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. The next amendment is the parental benefits, the application under the Unemployment Insurance Act. We are now at the bottom of, actually page 10, at the top, but the interlinking words is on the previous page 9. But this sets out the criteria or the requirements that you have to fulfill before you can apply for parental benefits from the Unemployment Insurance Fund. If you are applying for parental benefits, you have to be firstly registered as the child's father in terms of the Birth and Death Registration Act, be the parent of a child below the age of 2 in an adoption order, or the prospective adoptive parent of a child below the age of 2 in a court order that places the child in the care of the prospective adoptive parent pending the finalization of the adoption order in respect of that child. So I had to bring that requirement up here so that the prospective adoptive parent can also access the parental benefits under Employment Insurance Act. Members?
Okay. Honourable Fund Kelvin, say fine, then we're fine.
The next amendment is just lower down on that page, amendment to subsection 2. I had to bring an amendment to say that your entitlement to adoption to parental benefits commences on the date that the competent court grants the adoption order, or the date that the child is placed in the care of a prospective adoptive parent by a competent court pending the finalization of the order in respect of that child, whichever date occurs first. So just to say when actually you can apply. These amendments will be repetitive. Yeah. So agreed? Yeah. Then your application for parental benefits, previously I said that we have to come back on the next page 11, the amendment to section 26B. Part B of subsection 2, I had to add again just to make sure that your application must be made within 12 months after the date that the court order grants the adoption order, or the date that the child is placed with a prospective adoptive parent, whichever date occurs first. Okay. Thank you, Chair. Okay. Thank you, Chair. The next amendment is amendment to section 27. That's a section that relates to adoption benefits in the Unemployment Insurance Act. Again, I had to break that section up that says when you can apply for it. You can apply either in terms when the... You can apply either when you have adopted the child in terms of the Children's Act, or the child is placed in the care of a prospective adoptive parent. That's in relation to adoption benefits, and at the bottom, again, just to link it to your entitlement as well, you can entitle it when the court grants the adoption order, or the date that the child is placed in the care of the prospective adoptive parent, whichever date occurs first. And that's the amendment to section 27. Members?
Agreed.
I'm coming back to section 28. Section 28 is the section that is deals with the application for adoption benefits. This section is not currently before the committee, which is why it is in yellow. The reason why it is in yellow is that when a section is not before the committee, they'll have to go back to the House to ask for permission to amend it. So that's why I've highlighted it. But I'll explain that more fully, what the rules require after we've agreed to this version. Section 28, I took out in the application for adoption benefits that you no longer have to make it within 6 months. You now have to make it the application within 12 months, and I've taken the discretion out
of the commissioner, when you apply later than that, and then also you can apply on the date that the child is placed with a prospective adoptive parent pending the finalization of the final adoption order and speak of that child, whichever date occurs first. So to streamline it with the other amendments, we'll have to go into back to Section 28 and make the amendments there so that all of them are aligned.
Thank you, Honorable Lulu.
Chair, can I be clarified on the bold part there? Because I thought you were saying the application has been made within 12 months. But on the bold part, you are still going back to 6 months. Can you clarify me there?
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. The parts that are indicated in bold is the parts that are taken out. So all the bold is taken out. So now it will read the application must be made within 12 months after the date of the adoption order or that the date that the child is placed. So those bold sections are taken out.
Then agreed.
It looks like that's the end of the amendments that relate to that.
Thank you, Honorable Members, and thank you to our legal advisor. Can I ask a question? And I think that's is it possible for a person who has not been granted a permission to adopt at the end of the placement process to reapply for another adoption? A different one. Definitely. When you have been rejected to the first child, you can't then apply. But I'm saying, in the same financial year, can you then, when the other one is rejected, it's a 3-year process. That process, does the law have to follow that 3-year? What is the social service is saying, 2 years or 3 years? When they get to adoption, what is the adoption stage of the law of the social services? When does that assessment period? After, let's talk about placement that the child has. Let's talk about our own process now, the one that we have agreed upon. That after, because immediately after placement, then you can, through a court order, you will have a child with you. But then there's that social department's process of assessment, which takes 2 to 3 years. When that process at the end is rejected, let's say you don't succeed to adopt, can you then immediately go and look for, can you reapply for adoption? Honorable Loli, Honorable Ollis.
Loli was getting upset now.
you can't see.
We are friends.
She's smiling. Loli was smiling.
We are friends. Chair, technically, I mean, the person obviously can apply again to adopt. But you know, the process is long and cumbersome, and the Social Development Department is involved, and they have to grant approval. The court is involved. The court has to grant approval. And if you talk to people who've adopted, it's long and arduous, this process. So by the time this one has been ultimately rejected after several years, that you can't just go and fetch another child off the shelf like a sweater. You've got to start all over, and they have to find a matching child, and then it's got to go, social worker's got to come and investigate again, then you've got to go back to court and get another court. It's a long process. It's not a quick, oh, I don't like this yellow one, I'm going to take the blue one. It doesn't work like that. It's not controlled by the applicant. It's controlled by the social department and by the court. It's a very tightly controlled process.
Thank you, Honorable Ollis. Maybe I should have made it clear where I'm getting to. In terms of finances on the side of the department, remember that the person, doesn't matter whether he comes in 2 years or 3 years to readopt, remember that the person has been granted a leave,
yes,
and he has been paid through that process, and then he gets to another one 2 years down the line. Terms of finances?
The way the adoption leave and the adoption benefits is drafted, it's not linked to the person, it's linked to the child. So if you are going to adopt one child and that adoption goes through or may not go through, you get adoption, when that child is placed with you, you get the adoption leave as it is proposed in the bill. If it then doesn't go through, then there will probably be reasons why it didn't go through. If you then later adopt for a later child, I mean later again adopt, then you're all again entitled to the adoption leave. But obviously if they do reject it, I mean, they'll have to have reasons why they've rejected it in the first place before they declare you as a prospective adoptive parent again. So if something went wrong there, obviously that will affect your status as a prospective adoptive parent for you to come again, because you'll have to comply with those requirements before you can access the benefit.
Members, my concern is from the side of the employer. It's from the side, on the side of the department. Because when you are on leave, let alone the child will benefit, but yourself, you are benefiting. There's a benefit that you get on the department. That's what I'm asking. We are all on the same understanding. I understand all these things, but what I'm asking, what happens? Because you've been granted that leave, and at the end, for whatever reasons, which will be good reasons, we all understand it can be turned down, good reasons, they reject it. And good reasons may be something that when you go back to apply, it's something that might allow you to be given the chance to apply. Let's take it in that line, that it's the rejection was not something that will be something that you cannot correct, but something that could be corrected, something that was just a shortcoming at that stage, and you can apply, and you can be given. What then happens to this side of granting of the leave? It's just a question, really. Not saying that we are going back. We're fine. We have taken the decision. But yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If that is the position, then I don't need to make further contribution, because I think the legal advisor has clarified, because it will be discriminatory if we put all sorts of conditions to either pay back, or you're not entitled to two or one adoption, whatever the case may be. Because they are not those kind of restrictions on maternity leave. Thank you, ma'am.
Correct.
I'll just leave that question. It will arise even if it's 20 years to come.
some of us will be alive, some of us will not be here. Remember that I was just asking a question, not saying that we are changing. The decision has been taken. So thank you so much. We are done for today, né? Because meaning, are we going to go through everything?
Yeah, I was about to ask, should we not formally adopt the amended bill? Where are we with that process?
We still have to go to clause by clause. What's the process that we should follow now? Let's get the legal person to clarify.
Chair, remember I said I'll come back to the highlighted sections.
Okay.
At the moment, those highlighted sections are not part of the bill, which means we're going back to the Principal Act, which the Unemployment Insurance Act in this instance. We're going to go back to that act, and because we need to align the benefits, we need to go make changes there. And because that section is not part of the bill, when the House, in terms of the rules, when the House refers the bill to the committee, it must deliberate on those sections. If it, during the public submissions or whatever comments they get, they find that we actually need to go in the line, or there was an oversight there, or we need to make changes there, they need to go back to the House to ask for permission for that. So what the next step is, these are the amendments that are agreed to. The next step is for the committee to request from the House in terms of rule 282. Sorry, Zolani will have the rule number. But in terms of the rules, I think I've got it here at the bottom. 2864 subsection sub C.
Yeah.
So we need to go back and ask the House for permission to amend those sections. Now Zolani and I have drafted an interim report, Zolani can read it, which set out the request and the rationale why the committee needs to go back. And once that permission is granted, the committee can come back, and they can come back clause by clause and adopt the bill. Since these are already the amendments, so most of the work is done. The committee agreed, this is the wording, it's just now to ask for the permission. Once the permission is given, the committee can go clause by clause and adopt.
Agreed.
Okay.
We all agree. But then let's give Zolani an opportunity just to read what is that will be taking to the House application.
Thank you, Chair. The interim report, as the legal advisor has explained, is just only interim, because once it's granted, the committee does that clause by clause and adopt that bill, we'll still have to have a final a report to the House. So the interim report of the Portfolio Committee on Labour on the Labour Laws Amendment Bill, PMB5 of 2015. Remember, at this stage, it was still PMB5 as it was introduced, not the redraft. Dated 30th, because it was today that we had this. The Portfolio Committee on Labour has considered the subject of the Labour Laws Amendment Bill, PMB5 of 2015, referred to it and classified by the JMT as Section 75. The bill seeks to amend the Basic Conditions of Employment Act. And this is just the long title of the bill. I'm not going to read the whole, because it's taken directly, the two bills that the bill is trying to amend. And then in the second paragraph, it says that the bill was introduced and referred to the committee on 26 November 2015, ATC number 161 of 2015. The committee held public hearings and considered proposed amendments to the bill. Whilst inquiring into the subject matter of the bill and during the public hearings, the committee realized it is necessary to amend other provisions of the Unemployment Insurance Act 2001, Act No. 63 of 2001, which is referred to as the Principal Act, which were not included in the bill. The committee now seeks to amend other provisions of the Principal Act beyond the scope of the bill. The envisaged amendments, which are not currently contained in the Labour Laws Amendment Bill, PMP5, will, amongst other, cover 1. The inclusion of new clauses that would provide that the benefits that a contributor to the Unemployment Insurance Fund is entitled to may not be reduced by the payment of parental, adoption, and commissioning parental benefits. The amendment is necessary in order to align the payment of parental, adoption, and commissioning parental benefits with the payment of maternity benefits provided for in the recent Unemployment Insurance Amendment B, which was adopted recently in the NSOP. The second amendment is that the inclusion of a new clause that would provide that an application for adoption benefits to the Unemployment Insurance Fund may be made within 12 months after the date of an adoption order or within 12 months after the date that a child is placed in the care of a prospective adoptive parent by a competent court pending the finalization of the adoption order, whichever date comes or occurs first. The purpose of this amendment is to enable the prospective adoptive parent to apply for adoption benefits from the Unemployment Insurance Fund shortly after a child is placed with the prospective adoptive parent. The prospective adoptive parent in whose care the child is placed will therefore not have to wait until a final adoption order is granted by the court, which is often granted long after the child is placed with the prospective adoptive parent. This amendment is necessary to enable the prospective adoptive parent to access the adoption leave at a time when it is most needed, that is when the child is first placed with the prospective adoptive parent. The committee submits this interim report to motivate its request for permission in terms of Assembly Rule 2864, Section 4C, to amend the provisions of the Unemployment Insurance Act 2001, Act No. 63 of 2001. This report to be considered. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much. I think we then all understand that this is the process that we are going to follow. Zolani will do that application. Honorable Ollis.
Thanks, Chair. I fully support that. Can I just suggest that we try to urge the Chief Whip to table that request as soon as possible, because next week Parliament rises, and I would really, really, really like to see us as a committee finally adopt the final bill before then, so that we can go home to Christmas knowing, hey, we achieved something great, we finished it, whatever. And the timing is starting to get tight. So it's just that a small request that we urge the Chief Whip to try to table that request in the NA as soon as possible.
I think we'll do our best, but looking at the process, it's only next week now, because this week is out, the program is out, we're only left with next week. So if it's not coming in next week, then but we will try. That's the wish that we'll do it.
It takes 2 minutes in the House
to
get it into the program, and then they just stand up and say, please, can we do this? Everyone says, yes.
You at least won't be surprised this time. Thank you so much. Members, I think I need to bring this to your attention before we release the DA caucus. Can it... we don't want to hear it, Honorable America. Thank you. Before we release other people, the legal advisor, I've been advised this morning that I'm doing this in case we don't finish this year with the bill. We'll have to go the next year. Our legal advisor, if we don't finish this year, will not be with us. Someone else. The gentleman, the name.
Michael, please. Michael, please. Oh. Sorry, Chief. Michael Prince.
Yes, who will take over. That's why he is here with us today. I will then give an opportunity to any members, I can see Honorable Lolua's hand, to just thank Desiree and for what he has done. Remember, he has discovered many, in fact, he has protected us as a committee. You will elaborate on that because, you know, he has really done a good work for us. So, any member, that is the time, Honorable Bahrain, now you can redo it again to say something on Desiree. But Honorable Loliwe's hand is up first. And then there is Honorable Olis. Honorable Loliwe.
Thanks, Chair. Desiree, thank you very much for what you have done, taking us through this learning curve, because you are the legal guru, which we are not. So it assisted us a lot, even the patience you had with us, because sometimes, because we don't understand your legal jargon, we would be on your throat, and then you'll be patient with us. It's a pity that we are not going to finish this with you. And if I'm not mistaken, Chair, I'm worried because this is becoming a trend. Even with the UIF, we started with somebody and we ended with somebody, just like in this one. But having said all that, I think even Mr. Prince understands that he's just locking the door, otherwise he'll build the house. So this one will be attributed to you. If it comes back from the president, we'll say, ooh, what did Desiree miss? We won't say, what has Mr. Prince missed? But I trust you because you were very thorough. Keep up the good work, because we're not told where you are going. We hope you are not going to be totally lost in our environment. It's just that maybe you are given other responsibilities. Keep up the good work. We really appreciate it when we see commitment in people who are attached to certain avenues. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable
Loliwe.
Honorable
Olis. Thanks, Chair. I also just want to thank Desiree for the work you've done and the long hours and putting up with all our moans and groans. We really do appreciate it. Just to clarify, I don't think your job's finished yet. We've still got 7 days. And we won't get the National Assembly to vote on this bill. I accept that. But what we can do is to push the Chief Whip to ask that permission, and then do the clause by clause and vote as a committee to adopt the bill. That's all that I'm saying. We can do that. I know some people shake their heads and they think we can't, but that part we can do, so that by the time we rise, we can actually say the committee accepted the bill. It will then have to go through a long National Assembly process and other processes, but we can actually do clause by clause before next Wednesday. I believe it. Deep down, I believe it. I just hope other people believe it.
Honorable Hollis, I know you look at me. I've learned, I'm learning law and the processes, because if I listen to what you are saying, we can't go through that clause by clause until the National Assembly says okayed it. So that we are there. So let's pray, all of us, for this to be pushed in. You can also, you know, on your side and negotiate now that this thing must go through.
Outside,
then.
Okay,
thank you. Honorable Bahrain, let me. Okay, Honorable Bahrain, it's fine. You'll close for us.
Thank you. I have done my thank you, but again, thank you very much for this work. In particular, the way you've made it easy to understand. The law is one thing, but to make it easy to understand. But I think my position here today is to welcome Mr. Prince. We look forward to working with you. You're not as good looking, but but we look forward to that. Thank you.
It's a matter of opinion.
is he aware that it's 16 days of activism? Because you might be comparing him to Desiree.
Yeah.
Honorable Letlowama.
I'm going to be short. I'm not good in
all right. Honorable Chair, I also want to add my voice that we have learned a lot. And ma'am, you are a good talent. We are very much proud of you. We are not only listening to you, we actually marvel at how our country is producing day in and day out very strong women. And on behalf of my organization in this committee, we have appreciated meeting here, learning from you, and then we wish you luck. And we hope wherever you are, keep on saving this country. Thank you.
So thank you, our legal advisor. I mean, the members have spoken on behalf of us. Now, all the little that I can say is that I concur with what all the members are saying. And I can imagine in your absence how long we could have taken time to deal with this bill, because you really went out of your way, did not say you are a legal advisor. We will ask things that are out of your scope of work, but you will still do them, you know, and come back. And we do know that you also helped. We'll give the Honorable the time to speak. Actually, I should have done that before, but it's fine. And you've been with us. And where you are going, we don't know where we are going. You have not told us, but where they need the reference of your work, I'm sure all these members will sign, will write something and say, you are the best, you are our star, you know, big time. Thank you. But let me allow Honorable Dudley to say something.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the chance to say something. It has been an honor and a privilege working with Desiree. I, too, have learnt a lot. And she's nothing short of brilliant. Plus a blessing, as you say, because of going the extra mile on everything and anything. But I also want to thank the committee, because I think you've done an excellent job and a really diligent job, because we didn't just want a bill. We wanted the best one that we could have, and that is important. And a lot of when I was busy with the beginnings of it, we had in mind, of course, is that we knew that once it came to the committee, anything we hadn't seen or picked up would come to light. And so I personally am delighted that that has happened, and that you've been so particular in making sure that we can get the best out of this bill for the people of South Africa. I'm excited. It's been a great privilege to work with you, and thank you so much for welcoming me into your space as well. Thank you.
Thank you so much, members. We are not welcoming you yet, Mr. Prince. We note that you are here. Until Desiree is out, then we will formally welcome you in the committee. We do know that you are there. But thank you for coming, and thank you for seeing your face. You are welcome. Don't listen to what was said there. You look perfectly good. And I know my member, Honorable Lawless, will testify to that. Thank you so much. I left with minutes, deliberations and minutes. Only minutes of the last week. There's another tree there, I'm told. Members. Honorable Sowam? Oh. Adoption. Lolio?
Yeah, it's seconded.
Oh, it's seconded by all of us. The minutes have been adopted.
Yeah.
And the meeting is adjourned. Thank you so much.
Next week is farewell speech. Next week.
Thank you.